Good evening. You're listening to a live teletown hall meeting with State Senator Kim Lozada. We'll be talking about COVID-19 and the state and local response. We're joined by hundreds of area residents this evening, and the ground rules here are simple. If you would like to ask a question and join the conversation, press zero. Again, if you'd like to join our teletown hall meeting with State Senator Kim Lozada, just press zero. And Senator Kim Lozada, there are obviously a lot of questions out there this evening on a variety of issues. And you're joined tonight by Nikki Britton from the Berrien County Health Department and Maggie Sales from the Michigan Unemployment Insurance Agency to help answer some of those questions and to provide information. So as we start, what have you been hearing and what have people been asking?
Thank you. Good evening. Thanks for joining me for this important teletown hall. I want to thank Nikki Britton from the Berrien County Health Department and Maggie Sales from the state's unemployment office for being with us to provide their expertise and answer your questions. I also want to thank our healthcare workers who are on the front lines battling this virus. I'm so grateful for your dedication. We are in an unprecedented time. Many of us are frustrated, overwhelmed, or unsure how to move forward. For me, while it is a blessing for Charlie, my husband, and me to have our four kids home, it's challenging for them to be away from school and their friends. Many others are sacrificing even more, forgoing visits with grandchildren, temporarily closing a business, balancing working from home while helping your child with their studies and more. Your sacrifices have been paying off, though. Thank you for doing your part to slow the spread as much as possible, and this hasn't been easy. I recently heard from a constituent who said they live alone and work alone, and that their mental and physical health are suffering because of the stay-at-home order. This is one of the most overlooked aspects of the shutdown, in my opinion. If you or someone you know is having a difficult time coping with anxiety or stress, there is someone waiting to talk to you. Please write down this number for the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services warm line. And it's 888-PEER-753. That's 888-773-7753. Individuals in crisis, including those considering suicide, are urged to contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-8255. That's 800-273-8255. Before we begin our discussion, I also want to make sure that you have my contact information. My staff and I are working remotely, but are here to serve you. You can reach us by leaving a voicemail at 517-373-6960 or sending an email to senklasata, so it's senklasata, at senate.michigan.gov. Tonight we will be discussing the status of COVID-19 in Southwest Michigan, hearing an update from the unemployment office and answering your questions. Nikki, we are not out of the woods, but we have begun to see fewer total new infections statewide. Will you please share the latest information for our area and how we can better understand the numbers being reported?
Hi, Senator Lozada. Thank you so much for having me on the call. I am Nikki Britton, the health officer for the Berrien County Health Department. As I know you're all aware that we do have widespread community transmission of COVID-19 in Berrien County. We're at well over 100 cases right now. And we know that those confirmed cases are really only a small portion of the total picture in the community. We know that there are hundreds of other people who have been symptomatic, but perhaps not diagnosed with COVID-19 We also know that there are people who are coming through this illness. Our latest counts, we do have the 123 confirmed cases, but we do have 70 people who have made it through their course of illness, through a 72-hour period of no symptoms, and are still have made it through and are recovered. So we're really encouraged that we're continuing to see that recovered number grow. We do have 7 deaths. We're also tracking just a lot of other information to try to better understand what's going on in our community. This includes, we're monitoring just where there are 911 calls that seem to have a potential COVID response. We're paying attention to people who are showing up in the emergency room with symptoms that match COVID. We're working very closely with Spectrum Health Lakeland to just get a good handle on what's going on out in the community and better just put into context those confirmed cases, because we know there's a lot more activity than just that. We're also working to make sure that testing does become more available. Testing is not a function of the local health department, but we are working with Spectrum Health Lakeland and now InnerCare in Benton Harbor is doing some drive-up testing as well. So there's through both of those, the health system and the health center at InnerCare, people are able to get testing. The governor has been working and announced that the testing limitations or definition of who qualifies for testing would open up considerably, so that people who are symptomatic but managing their symptoms well as an outpatient would have better access to testing. And what we're hearing from our partners is that there is increased access to the reagents, the nasal swabs, all the things that are necessary to receive those tests. So we're pleased that that capacity is increasing. That will help us have an even better picture of what is going on in our community. Our department is also doing contact tracing. We've conducted probably between 1,600 and 1,700 calls to different individuals in following up with them during a period of isolation or quarantine after they've been exposed to somebody with COVID-19 or after they've been diagnosed with COVID-19. So we're doing a lot of that following up, really trying to ensure adherence to the isolation and quarantine and the stay home, stay safe order, particularly for those individuals who represent a higher risk of transmission. Our department's also been doing a lot of work with long-term care facilities. We know that some of our most vulnerable populations are cared for in long-term care facilities, such as nursing homes or adult foster care homes. And with those being congregate settings, there's definitely increased risk. Our department is on the preventive end. We've been in contact with our long-term care facilities for several weeks, trying to understand their PPE needs and how we can meet those needs, making sure they understand infection control practices and that the staff are adequately trained and that they are aware of what the CDC and CMS guidance is for their facility. And then we do have a facility that has had a cluster of illnesses in Benton Harbor that we're working with that facility to make sure that transmission there is slowed and stopped. But we do have several cases of both residents and staff members who were ill at that facility. There have been a couple other places that maybe one worker has tested positive or something like that, and we are continuing to work with those facilities to make sure that it doesn't get out of hand because nobody's paying attention to the early signs. We're encouraged by what we're seeing in the majority of our long-term care facilities, and we're connecting to expertise and resources in the areas that need it so that we can protect our most vulnerable populations. So I guess I'll stop there and then take some questions at the end when we're ready.
Okay, thank you, Nikki. Maggie, could you start out by sharing some important information from the unemployment office?
Sure. Thank you so much, Senator. First of all, the agency would like to thank everyone for their patience. We appreciate the patience of the residents who, the Michigan residents who have shown with the unemployment system over the few weeks as we continue to provide emergency financial assistance through this historical demand. First and foremost, please know how to file a claim, and the information can all be found at www.michigan.gov/UIA. Filing a claim online is the preferred method, but we do understand some individuals would struggle with that. We do have our phone lines open, 866-500-0017, between 8 and 6 Monday through Friday, and Saturday from 7 to 2. Just know that more than 90% of the over 1 million claims have been filed online through the MyWAM system. Please be assured that every eligible worker in Michigan who needs to apply for unemployment benefits, that they will receive them. We know that it is a difficult time and lines are busy and our staff is working diligently to get claims processed. So the day or time in which a claim is filed will not impact whether a worker receives benefits or their benefit amount. Claims will be backdated to reflect the date in which a claimant was laid off or let go from their job due to COVID-19. We are asking for the public's assistance when filing. We developed an alphabetical schedule for people to file claims so that our system is not completely overloaded on Mondays when everyone seems to not only file a claim, but also certify for their benefits. We encourage individuals to use the online filing system, which is a 24/7 system, on the off-peak hours between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. The filing schedule for individuals who are filing with online, the last names beginning with A through L should file claims on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and last names beginning with the letters M through Z should file claims on Sundays, Tuesdays, or Thursdays. Saturdays are available for anyone to accommodate who had previously not been able to file during the week. For the call center, again, 866-500-0017, the last names beginning with A through L, call on Mondays and Wednesdays between 8 and 6, and last names beginning with the letters M through Z, call on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 8 and 6. Fridays between 8 and 6, and Saturdays between 7 and 2 are open for anyone who could not file during those allotted times. Eligibility has opened up through the governor's executive order and the Federal CARES Act. Eligibility for sick workers who are laid off, who are sick, quarantined, or immunocompromised, and who do not have access to paid leave or who are laid off. Workers caring for loved ones, workers without paid leave, who have an anticipated family care responsibility, including those who have child care responsibilities due to school closures, or those who are forced to care for loved ones who become ill. Also, self-employed, independent contractors, and gig workers. Low-wage workers with little or no history of work and unable to establish a claim previously. For self-employed, independent contractors, and low-wage workers, the application is now online at www.michigan.gov/UIA. Please know if you have already filed for unemployment benefits, you do not need to reapply. That has since changed. If individuals have filed for unemployment and were denied, they may be eligible now for the PUA. Through the CARES Act, they should go back to our Michigan.gov and file online. At this point in time, all PUA applications are being taken through online filing through MyWAM. The requirements for in-person work registration and work search have been suspended, and benefits have been extended from 20 up to 39 weeks. There's also additional benefits through the CARES Act, the Pandemic Unemployment Compensation, which could add an eligible individuals who are eligible would receive an additional $600 for up to 4 months. Our website continues to take unprecedented amounts of action. It is updated daily. I would like to direct people there to view the YouTube videos that we have on how to file a claim for PUA. So locating it through michigan.gov/UIA, tools and resources, videos for workers, and there's a series of videos that will help people walk through how to create a MyLogin account, a MyWAM account, and file for benefits. The information comes out every day. We do keep it updated on our website. There's also FAQs out there for individuals, both employers and employees. And we ask again for your patience and thank those that have assisted us with those. So the change this week has been definitely for the opening up of accepting claims for self-employed workers, gig workers, 1099 independent contractors, and low-wage workers. At this point in time, again, I want to direct people to our website, to our YouTube videos, and we understand that this is huge for so many people. We continue to work with the legislators to receive information on from constituents who are having difficulty getting through, and we'll continue those callbacks as well as having our lines open and our live chats during the day.
All right. Thank you, Maggie. John, I guess we can begin with the questions.
Absolutely, Senator. With the reminder that if you'd like to ask a question, all you need to do is press 0. So again, if you'd like to join the conversation, all you need to do is press 0. And right now, Nikki Britton from the Berrien County Health Department was talking a little bit about testing, Senator, and that's going to take us to Gina, who's calling in from Benton Harbor, and it sounds, Senator, like she has a question about testing. Gina, thank you for joining our Teletown Hall.
Thank you. Yes, my question is in great regards to testing because I have been homesick for the past 3 weeks. I'm a healthcare worker. I have not met the criteria to be tested. I've been treated as though I do have the virus, and I am recovering and grateful for that, but I still don't know whether I had it or not, still can't get tested for it. Now last I talked to the hotline, they told me because my acute symptoms were so long ago, I probably don't meet the criteria and would test negative. But now they have the antibody test coming out, and I wonder if I'm going to get stuck in, and I know I'm not the only one stuck in this, that you just can't get tested. You know, it doesn't matter that you're a healthcare worker. It doesn't matter what my background is. I still can't get a test because I didn't quite meet the criteria of having a temperature of 100.4. I never quite got up to that, but I did have fever, and I did have all the other symptoms. So I heard that the governor is loosening up the criteria for being tested, and I know that we really are not going to be able to get our heads wrapped around this and know exactly how many people have this virus until we can test everyone. But now we have an antibody test, and if I can get an antibody test and show that I did have it, and then I have an antibody to it, I can possibly rejoin the healthcare field and maybe help people. So that's why I'm concerned.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. This is Nikki. I think you're absolutely right that especially as we're transitioning strategies, we're going to just have a bit of a bumpy path here as to where people fit in the criteria. And the antibody test is not something that is being used by Spectrum Health Lakeland or InterCare right now. It's my understanding that they are sticking with antigen testing to actually test for the presence of the virus, not testing for has your immune system responded to the virus at some point in the past. Last I've heard, I think this is being actively worked on and progressing each day, but last I heard is that the serological antibody testing was still had some kinks, and while it is in use in certain areas, there was some caution about implementing that. I think that's going to need to be a really big priority for getting the state opened back up again and getting the country back opened up again so that we know who's been exposed, who has not been exposed, and who's got that immunity. I'm sorry that it's impacting you in the way that it is, but I wish I had some specific guidance I could give to you about your specific situation. If you'd like to be able to call the health department to try to talk a little bit further about your situation, sounds like you've made the calls to the screening hotline through SpectraMouth Lakeland, but you can call the health department hotline at 1-800-815-5485. And that's a place where anybody can call with any questions about COVID-19. And speak to a representative at the Berrien County Health Department. But for some of those more specific situations, you can get better, some additional guidance there.
Nikki, thank you. And Gina, thank you for the question. Our next question is coming in, looks like a question for Maggie, Senator. It's from the Bembenek family in Bridgman. And good evening. Thank you for joining our Teletown Hall. The Bembenek's in Bridgman, are you there?
Oh, yes. I have filled out a PUA on the MyWAM site, and I've got all the way through the end and saved it, and there was absolutely no submit button, which is supposed to be there. And when I go back now, there's an alert there, although I do have a confirmation number, but it still says application not submitted. What is going on?
So you have followed all our instructions perfectly to file that claim, and as long as you have a confirmation number, the application has been accepted by unemployment insurance. Remember that this is all new to us, and we are programming in the background to be able to take those claims once the applications have been submitted, and then we will start the processing. So at this point in time, again, you are good with the confirmation. Thank you so much for asking that. I know that that is on a lot of people's mind because they did not submit.
Thank you.
And thank you for the call. And thank you, Maggie. Right now we have a call coming in from Stan in Three Oaks. And Stan, thank you for joining our Teletown Hall.
I guess this is for the state senator. Since we're all on quarantine and everybody's supposed to stay home, how come the state of Michigan is letting all these Illinois people in coming to their summer homes? We don't know if they have COVID. They go into grocery stores. They go into gas stations. They could be spreading it. How come they're not stopped at the border and told to go home?
Yes, I understand your frustration because even residents of Michigan, if you have a second home in Michigan, you're not allowed to go to that second home. We don't have anything that addresses that. We can't prevent those people from coming here.
I got a plan. Okay. When they're coming in from 94 and you know that way station, the cops could be there and pull everybody in that way station. Let all the Michigan people go. Make all the Illinois people get off at exit 4, turn them around, and put them back on the expressway and tell them go home.
Well, that's I guess, an option, Stan. And again, I can hear the frustration in your voice, and I'm sorry this is happening. And if you want me to get more information for you, Could you call my office and we can talk one-on-one and I can check into that some more? Can I give you a number? Can you take it down?
You can give the number, Senator, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you hear me, Stan?
He's off the line, Senator, but definitely give the number.
Okay. That's all right. The number, Stan, is 517-373-6960.
Thank you, Senator. Right now we're going to go to Andrew, who's calling in from Eau Claire. And Andrew, you're on with Senator Kim Lozada. Thank you for joining our Teletown Hall.
Hi, this is Susie, Andy's mom.
Hi, Susie.
My question is referring to Maggie with the unemployment insurance agency. I'm an employer with staff filing for unemployment and that kind of thing. We're a seasonal business that was temporarily shut down. And I'm doing my first quarter unemployment insurance tax report. And I had three key employees that I paid through the middle of March before we were shut down. I have a pretty salty first quarter unemployment tax due on April 25th. It's the 10% because we're up in the higher echelon as a seasonal business. And it doesn't, you know, we have to pay up to the $9,000 per employee. So everything is taxed at 10%. And I did notice that our state withholding taxes were deferred till May 20th. And I've contacted my accountant. I've talked to our insurance company. I even wrote a letter to Senator Representative Paquette inquiring about any delay in the first quarter Michigan unemployment employer insurance tax. Is there any comment on that?
Susie, thank you so much, especially as you identify as an employer. I know that employers are struggling through our system as well as our claimants. I am unable to answer those employer questions. Would you be able to get in contact with the senator's office so that they can get that information and I can then get you connected to our employer ombudsman's office so that you have the correct information?
Okay. I've gone a couple of those routes because I also have, because we're a seasonal business, I have a follow-up to that question. And that I had employees that were laid off back in November when they filed for unemployment. Their calendar year goes from November last year to November this year. They were temporarily laid off and shut down they were expected to come back to work in March. Since we've been shut down, I've gotten the last couple of benefit statements saying that those benefits are charged to our account, and I'm not seeing where they qualify for the federal unemployment bump on their unemployment. So is there any address to that question for seasonal people that are caught in the middle?
Yeah, so again, the employer questions, I'm going to have to, reach out to our employer ombudsman because the last thing I want to do is give anyone incorrect information during this time. So if you would do that, and then also when we get your information, I can look into individual accounts and see what is happening. If the individuals have gone in and reopened their claim or filed the new claim for DUA, I'm not sure why something would be held without actually looking at it. So I'm not going to, guess on individual accounts right now. Again, we'll do our follow-up with you and get you that information.
I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Susie, thank you for the call. As our Teletown Hall continues, and Maggie, just so you know, we have a number of questions coming in about unemployment insurance, and that's going to take us next to Jack, who is calling in from New Buffalo. Hello, Jack. Thank you for joining our Teletown Hall with Senator Kim Lozada.
Yes, thank you very much for taking my call, and thank you for being on the air. For 2 days now, both Monday and Wednesday, which are the times I'm supposed to call in because my last name starts with K, I've tried numerous times to get through on the website. I've gone through all the procedures. I've seen the video, etc. I've done everything I could both on Monday and for about 4 to 5 hours today. And my last resort, I called somebody else who was unemployed. They tried the same procedure, and they ended up making that phone call. So they said, well, why don't you just do that and spend, about an hour and a half and wait for the phone to connect? Well, so I tried that because they are much more attuned to the computer business than I am. And so I've dialed the proper number after going through all the stuff on the computer, dialed the proper number and called in. And they take I listen to the tape that's played. And then if you want to talk on the phone, it might be up to 2 hours to talk to somebody. And so I wait, and about 30 seconds, it kicks off the phone, just like somebody would have hang up. So I've tried that about four or five different times from since about 10 o'clock this morning till about 4 o'clock this afternoon, and with no satisfaction whatsoever. I did the same thing on Friday, Monday, to try to talk to somebody. And so I went the route because I'm not computer literate necessarily. And I did the phone thing, and the same thing, it just kicks off. Is there any connection? Am I doing something wrong, or what seems to be the problem there?
Jack, you are not doing anything wrong. Appreciate that you went to our website to look for information. Also appreciate that you don't feel secure in applying through our online account. Our phones are extremely busy, as well as our online chat, which I don't think you'd use that either. But just to let you know that we do take complete over 7,000 calls a day, which is currently not keeping up the claims that are being filed. So again, the best way is to continue to call that number, even on Saturday if you need, or Friday. This is the big thing you need to remember, is that you are not going to lose benefits if you were eligible for them and you need to file because last week you were laid off. Those claims will be backdated. Also, if this becomes where you get into week two and not connecting, you can certainly work back through the senator to get in contact with us. We have a special team that addresses those issues where they've been, that we used to be able to respond to legislative inquiries in 1 to 2 days, and now it's taking us 4 to 5. But again, we can certainly go that route and get your name on a callback list. I encourage you to continue to try that 866 number. You are not doing anything incorrect. We appreciate your patience.
Well, thank you too much, and I will continue to follow through on that. And it's been kind of exasperating, to say the least. Let me share that with you. And I will continue. The only thing, usually when you call a number like that, they'll come back on eventually and say, you know, but the phone won't go dead. That was what I was concerned with. It just kind of drops off, and then you get the dial tone, and you're right back into what you did an hour before.
And Jack, I'm gonna when we get off the call today, I will check with our tech team to see if there has been any sort of issues with that, so that we can, if there indeed are, that we can address those. And you know, I get your frustration. We are working through this every day, and again, the patience, I can hear the patience in your voice, and I know that my staff appreciate that. And when they are able to reach out and assist someone, the thank yous that they get from our Michigan citizens is unbelievable.
Well, I appreciate that. I will continue to do that. The only thing that was kind of frustrating is that after I call and they say, do you want to talk to somebody on the phone? And I say yes, and then so I wait. And about 30 seconds, well, the phone drops off, and it's just the dial tone. And so that's part that bothers me.
Okay.
I'd rather talk to somebody than to try to fumble through on the computer.
Okay, thank you. We will. I'm going to check into that and see if there's any technical issues.
Jack, thank you. And Maggie, thank you for the answer. Right now, let's go to Glenda, who is calling in with a question about the PPEs for frontline workers. And Glenda, thank you for joining our telethon hall with Senator Kim Lozada.
First of all, thanks, Senator Lozada, for having the telethon hall. I appreciate it. My question is, they said on Fox News that southwestern Michigan was in a dangerously low position on their PPEs for their frontline workers, and I'd like to know what we're doing to ensure that these people that are fighting for everybody that comes in with not only coronavirus but any other issues, what you're doing to ensure that they get the proper protection.
Yeah, thank you, Glenda. This is Senator Lasada. I'm going to ask Nikki Britton from the Health Department to answer that question.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. This is Nikki. Definitely appreciate your concern and your question there, and this is something that we are thinking about consistently at the Health Department as well. You're right that there continues to be a shortage. We are not getting anything else from the Strategic National Stockpile, so it's all what we're able to source locally and through those means. We are seeing that the supply chains are opening up a bit. It is becoming easier to order some things, and Spectrum Health Lakeland has been a phenomenal partner for us in Berrien County. They have been able to do a lot of things and keep their healthcare system staff fairly adequately covered, and that has been encouraging. As the health department, we are concerned about all the other community settings outside of the healthcare system, whether that be nursing homes, long-term care facilities I spoke to earlier, law enforcement, even human service organizations like home shelters and people that deal with homeless populations, all the like. So those supply chains are definitely still tight. We're working on that, but we are loads further ahead than we were a month ago. And nobody's calling us anymore and saying, oh my gosh, we're out of everything. What can you do to help us? People are having days at a time worth of PPE on stores, and they're able to acquire those through their vendors. So that's something that is being monitored. It's being coordinated through the Berrien County Emergency Operations Center. That doesn't mean that everybody who has a PPE need or request is able to have that fulfilled, but there's a lot of guidance in place as to how to prioritize the use of PPE, how to prolong the life of PPE, as well as just a really consistent effort to get more into our community.
So does that mean the frontline workers are required to use PPEs more than once?
In certain settings, there are people who are using, say, one mask for an entire shift. It really varies from setting to setting, and comparing a nurse in the emergency room to a police officer to somebody who's working in an adult foster care setting, I mean, it's kind of apples and oranges, but there are people who would like to have a lot more PPE, and it would be make me sleep a lot better at night knowing that we had more PPE for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. One last comment. I have a respiratory issue, and one of our exchange students happens to live in Hong Kong, and she wanted to know if we had masks, and we didn't because you can't find any anymore, or very seldom can you. She sent us some, so 80. So we've got to protect our... And that's not an N95, I understand, but we've got to protect our workers.
Right, and the whole mask thing can get very complicated very quick. It sounds very simple to everybody, just get a mask or wear a mask, but the fit of the mask matters a lot. Even healthcare workers for the N95s, there's actual fit testing because there's different styles of N95s. You can wear the right mask, but if it doesn't fit you properly, it's not going to do a lot of good. And that's part of the reason why the CDC recommendations that the general public is not to wear the medical grade masks, because we need to reserve those for healthcare providers who can wear those properly and have those available, and that a cloth face covering is what is recommended for the general public.
And Nikki, thank you very much. Our next call is coming in from Betsy in Niles. And Betsy, you're on with State Senator Kim Lasada.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. My question is about unemployment. I've been off work since the end of March. I live in Michigan. I work in Indiana. I applied for unemployment in Indiana. They told me I have to do it through Michigan. I applied in Michigan, and for the past 2.5 weeks, my claim has been processing. I've tried calling the 866 number, and every time I call, it just kind of loops, asks questions. I answer those questions, and then it disconnects me. So I'm kind of frustrated because I don't know who to call, what to do, because I'm not getting anywhere. And I don't know if the claim has been approved.
So your claim is one of our special claims, interstate claims, and we have a special team that I can get that information to have them look at that. I would be happy to do so. Again, if you could call the senator's office and relay that information for contact, and they will contact me, so we will get that to you.
Okay, and that number?
Yes, Betsy, the number is 517-373-6960.
And is there anyone in particular I should ask to speak with?
No, just leave a voicemail, or if you want to send an email, you can send it to Sen, S-E-N, K, Lasada at senate.michigan.gov.
It would be helpful if you reference that you had an interstate unemployment claim. That will help me remember what we talked about.
Betsy, thank you very much for the call. Right now we're going to go to Tim, who's calling in from Waterfleet. And Tim, thank you for joining our Teletown Hall with Senator Kim Lasada.
Hi, Kim, and thank you for the town hall meeting. This question is more for the health department. I am recovering from the COVID-19. I test positive, and about 3 weeks later, I'm finally getting to the point where it's back to normal. The doctor had called and asked me if I would be interested in getting an antibody test and having some plasma given, or given some plasma, so that if everything works good, that my plasma might help somebody in more serious or dire straits with this virus. I know we talked about the antibody testing earlier, but I was more concerned on how we, or if they're going to start doing this, so that maybe my antibodies could help the seriously injured.
Yeah, thank you for calling in and bringing that point up. That I'm very pleased to hear that you're finally getting back to normal and that you've regained your health, and definitely appreciate your willingness to potentially be a convalescent plasma donor. So that's really important. So we're working with the health system right now and using antibodies from people who have recovered from COVID-19 to use that as a therapy from people who are particularly ill is something that is being explored throughout the country. There are places that are attempting to do this. There's just not a system in place yet. So the health department is working with Spectrum Health Lakeland to identify a bit more of a process for how we can connect people who would be willing to undergo that testing. The testing that I was referring to earlier with the antibody testing not being ideal, that is more in mass screening settings for determining if somebody is ill in the moment. There are tests that are available and can be used in some highly in those sorts of settings to identify somebody who had already tested positive, and we know that you had the virus, and we know that there's been a response. So we are working through a process like that. That could be potentially life-saving for a Berrien County resident. Definitely appreciate your willingness. We're going to start asking more people that we're following up on if they have this willingness. And I know the hospital also does outreach to people that they have provided any level of care for anywhere in the system. And that might be how you got tagged for this, but it's an excellent thing and a slightly more innovative thing that we can be doing here in Berrien County to save lives.
Well, thank you very much. And I am very interested. If I can help somebody, I definitely want to. So I'll try to keep in touch with my doctor and in contact with him and make sure that once this does start that I might be able to be helpful. Thank you very much.
And additionally, if you'd like to call the health department, if you're not making the inroads with your physician, you can call the health department a hotline. Again, that phone number is 1-800-815-5485. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Tim. Our next call is coming in from Samantha in Niles. And Samantha, thank you for joining our Teletown Hall.
Thank you.
Are you there, Samantha?
Yes.
Go on ahead.
Yes. My question is probably for the health department. I am a manager here at Silverbrook Community in Niles. Mostly elderly people, and we have a community center and a pool, which is closed down, of course, at this time. But I'm getting questions, when will they know that it's safe to get back together in the community room and the pool, or should we just keep it all closed down, like, for the year?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think that's the million-dollar question right now is when do we start peeling back some of the social distancing measures that we have in place? And I know we're all very anxious for a variety of reasons to be able to do this. I would say it would be premature to say we're just closing it down for the whole year, and I think that taking a wait-and-see approach and assessing things every couple of weeks might be a better, more measured response. What I can say is that there is a lot of talk amongst public health departments across the state, as well as MDHHS and the governor's office, that's the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, as well as the governor's office of how do we reinstate some of these activities? How do we meet some of the very real needs that people have for connection and physical activity and economic opportunity and all of these things that we also know are good for our health? How do we bring some of those back in while understanding that if we get transmission under control right now, that is a really great thing, but we have a very small percentage of our population that will be immune. You typically want to see anywhere from 40 to 80% of the population have immunity to a particular virus before you would consider that we have any amount of herd immunity that would make all of those things safe. We really are going to have to contend with and continue to deal with as a community, as a state, what do we do when things start to slow down? Economically, we need to open things back up, but we know that we still have a huge percentage of our population that is vulnerable. And the vaccine that is in the works will not be ready probably for another year. So it's a balance of all of those things. So in terms of making specific decisions about what to open and what not to open, I'd say stay tuned with what's coming out of the governor's office. If that strategy does start to shift to be a bit more regional within the state, we'll have plans for that and understand how that's moving forward. And as well, but for right now, hold tight. We are all in this together. It does seem like this stuff is effective. And thank you for all that you do to serve a vulnerable population and keep them safe during this time.
And Samantha, thank you very much for the call. Our next call is coming in from Mark in St. Joseph. And Mark, thank you for joining our Teletown Hall with Senator Kim Lozada.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you, Mark.
Okay, I was calling because I have a unique situation, so this would be for Maggie. I own a small business, a DJ business, and it's kind of seasonal, basically April through October, but I have events all year round. And about 2 weeks before COVID-19 turned into what it turned into, I was eliminated at work from my regular Monday through Friday job. So I filed for regular unemployment that way. What I'm concerned about is, should I be, I've lost probably 15 jobs for my other business, for my DJ business and voiceover business. So I'm concerned about applying for the small business benefit of that $600 weekly and not using my regular 9-to-5 or my W-2 job benefits. Can you give me some guidance on that?
So, Mark, did you say you've already applied for benefits?
That is correct.
And did you receive information that it was approved?
Yes, I was approved. So the company I worked for that eliminated our jobs before COVID, it was an agreement. They told us we could apply for unemployment, the regular 20-week program. So I was in the job search when the COVID-19 happened, and because I have this second job, which is what I'm asking about, it's a 1099 job that I work throughout the year. Should I apply for those benefits and not certify for my regular, or should I just stay where I'm at?
Right. It sounds like you're in the right place without, you know, going into too much detail, especially on the phone.
Yes.
But our regular unemployment compensation, you have to either have exhausted or been denied to go to the next federal step. That for the emergency unemployment compensation of EPI. But please let the $600 pandemic unemployment compensation, which I call puck bucks, the additional $600 will run in conjunction with either the regular benefits or the federal benefits up through July. So my best suggestion to you, Mark, is to make sure that you look and go into your MyWAM account and see what is happening with it. But I believe from what you're saying that at this point in time, you are where you need to be.
Okay, that sounds great. And I just wanted to compliment Senator Lozada. I know you're under a lot of pressure and there's like a no-win here, but you're doing a great job. I appreciate you making sure that our voices are heard in Lansing. So thanks again. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, thank you, Mark.
And thank you, Mark. Our next question is coming in from Julie in St. Joseph. Julie, thank you for joining our Teletown Hall.
Hi, thank you for having this. My question is in regards to when we're going to get back to work according to the Homeland Security CISA guidelines. So not necessarily everybody, but get back to those Homeland Security guidelines versus the restricted Michigan guidelines.
Well, Julie, this is Senator Lozada, and I think that's a question for me. That is our hope. Our hope is that the governor changes her mind, decides to follow the CISA guidelines. I know we are the most stringent state. I do know that the governor reached out to some other governors today, a few other governors, and I hope that she's going to change her mind and allow businesses that can operate safely in this current environment. Allow them to do so, because we know of many businesses that would be able to work safely. And again, we don't want to lighten or we know that this is an important issue. COVID-19 has killed, and any one life that's lost is one too many. But knowing that, we do know that there are businesses, there are people that can get back to work and work safely. We're trying, Julie.
Thank you.
And thank you, Julie, for the call. Right now, we're going to go to Ralph, who's calling in from Buchanan.
Hello.
Sounds like a question for Maggie. Hello, Ralph. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I've been off for about 3.5 weeks, and I know unemployment puts checks in the deposit on Wednesdays. I went in to check, and I found my wife's in there, but mine wasn't, so I went on WHAM to see what happened, and they said I was ineligible. I want to know maybe what was the reasons why it would make me ineligible when we work at the same place.
Ralph, that would be concerning if I had seen that as well. Without going into your individual account and viewing it, I do not know what triggered that ineligible week flag. It is something I'd have to look into. Remember, unemployment, I want to be able to give general guidance here on this phone and those individual issues. I would say, Ralph, have you tried to contact UI through either the phone or the live chat or a web message?
My day is tomorrow, so since my last name starts with a W. I was going to try that tomorrow. I was going to sit online and sit on the phone and see if I could find out. Would going to school full-time have kicked it out? I do go to school full-time and work full-time, so.
So that may have been the trigger that how you answer the questions. Again, please know that we continue to update our system on a regular basis to get to where we said the registration, the waivers have to be put in place. So we're working through this, and Ralph, I'm going to ask that you have patience through the weekend to see if we get those upgrades in place for you, and then if it doesn't appear, and also remember that unemployment insurance releases benefits the day following the business day following when you certify. So if so it's not only on Wednesdays. I don't want to give people the impression that we do everything on Wednesdays. It is based on when you certify. And then, of course, how it goes to your account. And we don't necessarily send or release benefits on Saturdays or Sundays.
Okay. Yeah, I was concerned when I didn't see it in my account and then I'd see my wife's. And I'm like, what's the problem?
Sure. Yep. And again,
I will try tomorrow.
Look in your MyWA account and hang on through the weekend. And hopefully we can push the upgrades through and it will be successful come Monday.
Okay. Thank you for hearing my question.
Hey, thanks for your patience, Ralph. Truly appreciate it.
And, Senator, we probably have time for one more question as our hour winds down here. And that's going to take us to Valerie, who's calling in from Centerville. Hello, Valerie.
Hi,
you're on with Senator Kim Lozada.
Thank you, Senator Lozada. I was wondering, Abbott Laboratories has a new test that I heard about, a rapid test, and they are doing research and development on it and developing it. Is there any new news on that test and its availability on COVID-19?
Okay. Thank you, Valerie.
Abbott Laboratories in Sturgis.
Okay. Nikki, are you aware of this?
I believe we're referring to Abbott Laboratories. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
Yes. So I do believe, I don't have all of the details because it is Spectrum Health Lakeland that is doing this locally. I do believe that they are working with Abbott Laboratories and they are working to build the capacity to have an even faster test. Right now, test times are about a 24-hour turnaround time. I'm 90% sure that what they are working with is to get that Abbott test up and running.
Okay.
Thank you, Nikki. So we're coming down here to the end of our hour. Senator Lozada, we have a number of questions that we weren't able to get to this evening. But again, as you said, if people have a question, if they have a comment, if they want some information, you're only a phone call or an email away. So maybe if you could give us your phone number and your email address again.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, for those of you who were unable to get your questions answered, please contact my office. And the number is 517-373-6960, or email me your question to SEN klosada@senate.michigan.gov. And I want to thank Nikki Britton from the Berrien County Health Department and Maggie Sales from the state's unemployment office. And I know both of these women have very difficult jobs. And, you know, everyone's trying to work together to help people. And I just want to say to people just to please be patient, stay safe, and our mental health is just as important as our physical health. So for those of you that are out there and know that, you know, people have are having mental health, you know, issues, please get them help, or please, you know, contact my office for help.
Okay, Senator Lozada, thank you very much. And Maggie and Nikki, thank you as well. And everyone, please have a good evening.